First Corinthians chapter number 2. And while you're headed by Acts, if you'll stick a finger there in Acts chapter number 18, put your bookmarker there. And I'll give you just a quick thought this evening. I'm thankful for the Lord being good to us, being the best thing, like they said, that's ever happened to any of us. And I came this afternoon with a different thought on my heart. And as preacher says, that took wings here just a few minutes ago before church started. And I believe this is exactly what the Lord has to say. And just goes right along with everybody else has said. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's look here in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Father, we love you and we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to get to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for making yourself known and making yourself clear this evening, God, and showing up, Lord, and giving every one of us exactly what we needed. God, I thank you for meeting in the singing, Lord, and everything that's been done so far, every testimony. God, I thank you for helping our hearts. And God, for just a few minutes, Lord, you make the Bible come alive. Lord, we fall in love with you all over again, draw closer to you than what we were when we came. And God, we go away shouting your praises, Lord, and telling everybody about you. Lord, I ask for a few minutes that you help us tonight in a special way. We ask this in your name. Amen. This is an amazing verse and an amazing passage to me about Paul and Paul's method of his ministry, if you will. But Paul, when he begins to write here to the Corinthians, he is looking back and he's taking a little bit of a walk down memory's lane about the way things used to be and how things used to be when he first started preaching and the way that he came into the Corinthian area there. The Bible said the area of Corinth. Look what the Bible said in verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." And so I want you to think with me, if you will, first of all, about the character of Paul's entrance. And this is referring back to the first time that Paul came to Corinth. And if you've got your Bible open to Acts chapter 18, flip back there quickly with me, if you will. Acts chapter 18 gives us the description of what takes place when Paul comes into Corinth for the first time. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is writing and he's looking back to that time, and in Acts chapter 18 we find exactly what it is that took place when Paul came. Acts chapter 18, verse number 1. The Bible said, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." And listen to what he's doing while he's here at Corinth. The Bible said, "And he reasoned in the Sabbath synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." And the Bible says this in verse number 8, that Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And so when Paul is looking back, he is beginning to write about how it was when he came into Corinth, and he is beginning to look back at the way that he came in. And the first thing that we find here is that Paul found a companion. The Bible said that he found a certain Jew named Aquila. And it's so amazing to me that Paul, on his missionary journeys, he is headed out to a place he's never been for, to a town that he's never seen before, where he doesn't know anybody, where he's probably going to be opposed and he's going to be blasphemed, that the Bible said there just so happened to be, Brother Samuel, a certain Jew there named Aquila. And of all the people that could have been there, the Bible said that there was one who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, was a born-again believer. And the Bible said even more than that, they were lately come from Pontus. And so you begin to put all these pieces together about how Paul is on his missionary journey and Paul is going to a place he's never been, but God has been working behind the scenes and bringing all the right people into place and bringing all the right events to come together. And the Bible said that when he came, that they had just come from Italy. They had just come from this area, and God is bringing Paul a companion. But not only a companion, God is bringing Paul a craft. The Bible says this this. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. I mean, can you imagine the good fortune that is smiling upon Paul here and the work that God is doing as he's on his missionary journey, headed to a place where he doesn't know anybody. He just so happens to find a certain Jew who just got there, one who's devout in the Word. Not only that, the Bible said they're of the same occupation. They work the same job, have the same career. And so now Paul not only has found a friend, but Paul's found a way to make a living. He's not going to starve while he's there at Corinth. And God is providing and God is working in Paul's missionary journey. He's companioning his craft, but he found a cause. Because Paul is not going to just spend some time there with his new friends, and Paul is not going on his latest business endeavor, but the Bible said that he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greek. And so Paul, when he's looking back, he said, when I came, I found a companion, and when I came, I found a craft, but really I came for a cause. I came to persuade and to teach and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you think about what God allowed Paul to do while he's here at Corinth, because the Bible said that he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And this is amazing to me because in just the chapter before, Paul has been preaching. And the Bible says here in Acts chapter 17 that Paul is there at Mars Hill and he begins to stand up and he preaches. And boy, it begins to wax eloquent and it begins to wax bold. And he is quoting from their author and he's preaching and he's giving it everything he's got. But when it's done, the Bible said that some mocked him. And some said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Paul is discouraged and Paul is dejected. I mean, things have not been going well, but as he's headed to Corinth, God brings him a companion and God brings him a craft, but God gives him a cause to continue in. And the Bible said that he didn't let the dejection, he didn't let the rejection that he experienced at Mars Hill dissuade him because he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Paul has a cause here. He has started a good work. But I say that Paul has started a great work. The Bible said in verse number 8 that Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Boy, can you imagine Paul? I mean, I can't even imagine how wonderful it would be to have all these wonderful things take place, but then far from being rejected and far from being turned aside and far from being mocked, the religious leaders are believing on Christ. And the Bible says his house is believing on Christ. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed, not only believed and were baptized. They made a public profession of their faith. They took that step. They went all the way. God is using Paul to start a great work here in Corinth. But I say that God started Paul to start a growing work here in Corinth. Boy, you begin to read the letters that Paul wrote back to the churches, and it's letters about dealing with sin, and it's letters about dealing with immorality. But what you'll find is that they accepted the rebuke, and they accepted the warning, and they went on and were better for it. And God is using Paul to start a great work here in Corinth. Start a growing work, a great work. But then I'd say not only that, a great work and a growing work, God is using Paul to start a giving work. Because you begin to read the books of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, some of the most important tenets of church doctrine you'll find anywhere in the Scripture contained in 1 and 2 Corinthians. All the things that we need to know, they need to know at the church there, God allows Paul to write to them and insert it into our canon of the Scriptures. I mean, the clearest definition of the gospel that we have in 1 Corinthians, it deals with the tongues, God's plan for marriage, the Christian liberty, the Lord's Supper. I mean, anything you need to know just about, you can find it in 1 and 2 Corinthians. God is using Paul to start a work that all these years later, hundreds to thousands of years later, this work is still helping us today. God is using Paul to start a great work, a giving work, a growing work. And Paul in 1 Corinthians in our text is looking back. And he said, I remember what it was when I came to you. And when God used me to start that work, he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, notice what he begins to talk about. He said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. The character of Paul's entrance. But then Paul begins to talk about the contents of his exposition. He said, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. When you begin to think about Paul and Paul's ministry and what God had called Paul to do, he was an ambassador for Christ and he was a preacher among preachers. They tell us that he would have traveled in a day before automobiles and a day before modern ships and modern technology over 10 to 13,000 miles on preaching the gospel. And the Bible said that when he left the church at Miletus, the Bible said that he said, you bear me record how that I am free from the blood of all men. Paul said, I've preached and I've lived my life in such a way where every opportunity God gave me, I took it. And every chance that I had to spread His word, I took it. And I am free from the blood of all men. And when he died, he said this. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul is a preacher, and Paul is reminding the church that when he came, he said, I didn't do a couple things when I came. He said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. He said, but I did this rather, he said, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That word testimony just means evidence. Boy, I brought it and I laid it all out, the contents of his exposition. But I want you to think with this curriculum tonight, verse number 2, the concentration of his efforts. Look at what he said. He told us what he didn't do. He said, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom. He could have. Paul was an eloquent man. Paul was a learned man and a bold man. But he said, I chose not to do that. He said, rather, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We begin to think about this great work that Paul did. Paul said, I'll tell you how I did it. It wasn't with my own power. It wasn't with my own ability. It wasn't with my own charisma, my own stamina, my own way of working things out. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Boy, Paul, you left us a giving work that all these years later, we're still looking back and getting help from it. All these years later, people are still being saved because of what you did. He said, I didn't do it on my own. I determined to know nothing save Christ and Him crucified. Paul, you did a work that not only is giving, but not only is growing. I mean, these people, you look at what they used to be and look at the sin they used to be in. And now look at how the power of the gospel has changed their lives. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look at how he said he knew him. He said, I knew him as the man named Jesus. He said, I knew him as the master. He was the Christ, but I knew him as the Messiah. It was Him crucified. And what you'll find is that Paul didn't say that he didn't know other things. He said, I determined, I chose not to know anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, Paul, the preacher of preachers, and Paul, the missionary that we look to, Paul said, I'll tell you what I did. I did not use my eloquence. Did not use my boldness. I didn't use any of my own ability. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul knew of only one way to preach. Only one way to teach. Only one way to reach the world. Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. Paul, how did you do it? I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Brother Mar, what's so amazing to me is that Jesus was enough. That was all he needed. Paul didn't need his own ability. Paul didn't need his own charisma. Paul found out after he went, he had tried that before at Mars Hill. When he got to Mars Hill, he was eloquent. He was bold. He quoted from their prophets, and he used every bit of the eloquence and the ability that he had, but he said, it didn't work. I was mocked, and I was rejected, and I was scorned, but when I came lowly, and when I came humbly, and when I came leaning on Jesus, he said, I could do fantastic things through the power of Christ. I want to give you just a thought tonight on this. Jesus is enough. I mean, that's what we've been talking about all night, isn't it? That Jesus is enough. I mean, people have stood up all over the building and testified about problems, have testified about scenarios, have testified about physical ailments, but the one common denominator that we have all found in every one of these is that Jesus was always enough. I mean, no matter what you're looking at, no matter the situation, Paul said, I've determined not to know anything among you. And look what he did. He started a work we're still looking at today. Why? Because Jesus was enough. That was all he needed. And if Paul, the greatest of preachers, maybe since the Lord Jesus Christ, could do that, why is it that you and I can take that same principle and apply it to our lives today? Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And look at what it did for him. The Bible said in verse number 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, he said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul said, I tell you what happened when I relied on Jesus only. There was a proof. The Bible says this, that it was in demonstration of the Spirit. Paul said, when I relied on Christ, there were some things that began happening around me. There was a demonstration of the Spirit of Christ. There was an evidence of Christ doing a mighty work behind me. When I went into Corinth, all I could see was God bringing all the pieces of the puzzle together. And when I stood up to preach, all I could see was His power upon the people. And when I gave the invitation, sinners came and were saved. Why? Because I relied on Christ. Paul said, there was a proof when I relied on Christ. And when we take our hands off the wheel and say, God, You're enough. I'm relying on You. I'm going to do what You've asked me to do, but trust You to take care of the results. God, Peter could say this. He said it was in demonstration of the Spirit. There was a proof that Paul had. There was a power that Paul had. He said it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. But there was a permanency that Paul had. Because the Bible says this in verse number 5. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul was burdened and Paul was concerned that when he went to Corinth, he didn't want those believers to be wrapped up in what he had to say. Paul didn't want them to leave trusting in Paul, and Paul didn't want them to leave relying on his words, but he wanted something that would last. Because he understood that after a time, if they relied on him and if they waited on him, that wouldn't be enough, and some would begin to doubt his words, and some would begin to twist his words, and the eloquence and the power would be gone. But Paul said, when I relied on Christ, and when I knew nothing but Him, he said, your faith could stand in the power of God. Paul did a work that lasted because he relied on Jesus. Did you notice what he said in the first verse? He said, and I, brethren. He didn't say I, sinners. And I to the carnal people down in Corinth. And I to the lost ones who are Roman. No, but he said this, I, brethren. Paul's writing to somebody whose faith is stuck. Paul is writing to somebody in a wicked place like Corinth where they're brethren that he could write back to, and there's a church that's been established, and there's a people who are living for God, and there's somebody who's trying to do what's right. Why? Because Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when Paul writes brethren, he writes to people who are now brethren. These people hadn't always been like this. These people hadn't always been saved. Sin hasn't always been a big deal to them, but now they are brethren. Paul, how did you do it? He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Corinth would have been considered one of the most wicked, one of the most immoral, one of the most degrading places of ancient history. It was a rough and tumble place. It was a wild west kind of city where men roamed the streets and where power was all that mattered. And Paul said, when I went into that town, I didn't go bringing all my credentials. Paul said, I didn't come telling everybody what I'd done and how bad I used to be, but he said, I came knowing Christ only. God did a fantastic work in Corinth because Paul went determined to know nothing but Christ. And the outcome never depended on Paul's ability. When you rely on Christ, it doesn't matter about your ability. It's all about your availability. Say, God, here I am. Just take me and use me. But knowing Christ only, for all the potential of life, Christ is enough. You think about that. Paul went into Corinth with a blank slate. I mean, who knows what could have happened? Well, when he left, there was a church that had been started. The ruler of the synagogue had been saved. There's baptisms that had been taking place. There was a place to write letters back to. For all the potentials of life, Christ was enough. For all the purpose of life, Christ is enough. For all the problems of life, Christ is enough. Paul said, I went knowing nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said knowing Christ was enough for soul winning. Knowing Christ was enough for service. Knowing Christ was enough for supplication. Whatever the case may be, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul didn't know what was going to lay ahead in Corinth. He had no idea what to expect. He didn't know how he would be received. He didn't know how he would be taken. But he said, I'll tell you what I did know. I knew one thing, that if anything was going to happen, it would not be because of my ability. It would be because I knew nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Paul did not have to add anything to Jesus to get the job done. For every one of those problems, Jesus was enough. For all of the potential that was there, Jesus was enough. For all of the pain, the misery, the suffering, for all the shipwrecks, for all the beatings, for all the torture Paul went through, Jesus was enough. Paul said, for every situation of life, Jesus was enough. Paul didn't claim to be Jesus. Paul didn't say, I can fix the problems. Paul didn't say, I got all the answers. He just said, I know somebody who does. I tell you tonight, for every problem of life, for all the potential of life, for all the anything that comes up. Christ, Paul said, I'll tell you what I'd do. He said, I wouldn't come boasting in my own ability. Wouldn't come boasting in my own wisdom. I wouldn't come boasting what I could do. He said, when I came, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But you know what's interesting about that is the Bible said that I determined. That means He made the choice. He decided. He let that be His goal and His purpose in life. You know what Paul, what John, I'll get it right here in a second, what Jesus told the disciples there in Luke 14, He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you're going to have a tendency to be troubled. There's going to be a tendency to let the cares and the pressures of life get to you, but let not your heart be troubled. Make the choice to trust in Me. What did He say? He said, let this mind also be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Had to make the choice. And Paul said this, I tell you, when it comes to choices, he said, I tell you what I did. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And what Paul found was that Jesus was enough to start a great work, to start a growing work, to start a giving work that we're still looking back for today. And what I tell you tonight is we're standing all over the building, no matter the problem.